Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The gospel reading that Steve read, we've said this before, but not only did Jesus not come to condemn us, he came to not condemn us. He came and revealed the fact that God has no intention of condemning. That was not what he's about. He came to reveal the love of God. This is from that 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. A couple of things here that just bless me in my time with the Lord this morning. One, when he addresses them, like when he addressed Colossians, they're opening Colossians to those who are in Christ at Colossae. And so he's identifying them first and foremost. What's most important about them is that they were in Christ. They were in union with Jesus, and they happened to be in Colossae. Always the most important thing about us is the fact that we're in Christ. But in this particular letter, when he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of God of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he says, not only are you in union with Christ, in Christ, but you've been placed into the life of the Father. In Romans, it says this in verse 9 of chapter 8. However, contrasting us, people who are born again from those who aren't. However, you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Now, the scripture says that you're in Christ, you're in the Father, and you're in the Spirit. Now, the term that's usually used over almost 300 times in the New Testament is the in Christ word. But the bottom line he's trying to get us to understand is that because of I'm in Christ, I'm in union with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that I am now participating in this amazing relationship that they have with each other. Because I'm in the Father. And I'm in the Spirit. And that's all true because I'm in Christ. And so I'm in them. I just think that's awesome. But here was the fascinating thing for me. Have you ever lost hope? Have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt hope dim? I think a lot of things that Selma's gone through since January the 12th could cause a lot of people to feel hopeless. A lot of people lost their entire homes, everything. I think one day last week, I just typed up the path of the tornado through Selma. I mean, it went right through the middle of Selma. And so many people's lives were affected. I'm sure there were people whose lives that were affected that were already going through stuff, whether it could have been things like sickness or domestic conflict or brokenness or economic issues, whatever. I know that the enemy would try to have put hopelessness on people in Selma. Now, when a lost person walks in hopelessness, it can rapidly deteriorate into depression, and they really don't have any handles to hold on to be pulled out of that. But for a Christian to walk in hopelessness is a tragedy. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that our God is a God, the God of hope. Think about that. That's part of his temperament. That's part of what identifies him. We know he's loved. He's holy, but he's a God of hope. He's never a God of pessimism. He's never a God of despair. He's not in a bad mood. You can't be filled with hope. Scripture says, rejoicing in hope. Hope gives birth to rejoicing. Our God's a God of rejoicing. As his heart grows sad at times when he sees fallen people, their lives in despair of a broken humanity, yes, but it never robs him of hope. He never stops hoping. He's a God of rejoicing. And so I want to read this verse to you again, verse 3, but I want to read it to you the way it's written grammatically. Translators change it to try to make it make sense. And then they'll put it on the side. This word literally means, then you would sort of say, well, just write it the way it was meant to be, and then we'll hear what God was trying to say. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Now hear it again. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father. I mentioned something Sunday. It's interesting, the sermons I preach Sunday, but I made a couple of comments that really weren't connected to the sermon. And I've had more people tell me that this was a game changer for them. And it was about worship. And I made a statement that because of your union with Christ, when you offer up your worship and your imperfect worship, because you're in union with Christ, he adds that to his perfect worship and offers it to the Father as yours. And therefore, just worship, knowing that Jesus joins your worship with his and offers it as perfect worship to the Father. That'll make you enjoy worship a lot more instead of being so self-conscious. You're like going, yeah, but you know, like sometimes I feel guilty because I'm not free enough. I see people who are more charismatic. Just worship. If all you can do is this, Jesus adds it to his worship and offers it to the Father. So be happy, be content, enjoy that. But that's true about everything in the Christian life. He didn't just say, and the language isn't just the steadfastness, and the steadfastness of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Everything he said in that sentence is connected to that. Bearing in mind, your work of faith and your labor of love and his steadfastness of faith, I mean, his steadfastness of hope in the presence of the Father, your labor of love is added to his perfect labor of love. You say, well, I'm ministering to this person, I'm stepping out in love, but I've struggled with this person a little bit. And Jesus wants you to understand that he adds your imperfect love to his perfect love and offers that in the presence of the Father. And in doing that, you begin to change. It begins to change you when you're conscious of that, because you're like going, why would I resist this? This is just who I am in him. And suddenly you find that what you're offering is as pure as you know how to offer it. But then, of course, he perfects it. Your labor of love. Your work of faith. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My work of faith is that when I offer up faith, he takes it immediately and adds his perfect faith to it in the presence of God the Father. That's the Christian life. And therefore, when I step into a situation, well, I was thinking about this the other day, about my hip that was bothering me so bad. I got Africa coming up in a week and a half. And I was just thinking about it, and Jesus just reminded me. He said, Chuck, I've got faith for this, and I'm at peace about this. And I'm going, well, then if you do, I do. He said, I've already decided for you whether or not you're going to have faith for this. I'm in union with you. And so I'm offering up my perfect faith before in the presence of the Father. As yours. I'm offering up the fact before the Father that we're at peace about this, Chuck. We have faith for this, me and you, in union. Yeah, Lord, we do. I can just relax. That's what surrender is. It's just saying yes to the fact that I'm in union with Him. And in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. That whatever weak faith, weak love, weak worship, weak faith, weak hope, just acknowledging Him, Lord, and He says, we got it. I have hope, therefore we have hope. I have love for this, therefore we have love. I have faith for this, therefore we have faith for this. And I'm offering that to the Father as yours. Because I live. He says, you do things in my name, but you have to understand, I live before the Father in your name, on your behalf. Amazing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.